Okay, turning now to the 23rd Psalm, the last two verses, we see a change of pace. We go now from a shepherd to a royal host. And it has been suggested that after the sheep walk and being with the sheep so long, that a shepherd, like David, would think about having a nice meal. And we know that if we work hard, I know I do, if I work hard and I know that my wife is going to have a nice meal in the evening, that we can sit down and enjoy it, it's really a great thing. And I've sat down in some of your homes, even had a wonderful afternoon lunch at the Armor Places, at the place today. And then we think of the Karns. And so you got good cooks here. And so as the pastor preaches the message, we get a meal for a message. But that's a wonderful thing. So this is the thought here that I think is in David's mind, that he's thinking of this royal host that takes care of him completely. And so here in these last verses, he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wonderful words. David proclaims here in verses 5 and 6 to show how the Lord is a royal host to his guests, his people. The main purpose of the Bible is the revelation of God, of himself. And this psalm aids in our understanding. Sometime this morning we spent with the shepherd, and to think about that shepherd relationship is wonderful, portrayed in verses 1 and 4. And tonight we're thinking of the host-guest picture of verses 5 and 6. We're going to see two points that we want to cover in this two verses: the provisions of the royal host, and then, secondly, we see the promises of the royal host. So first, the provisions. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And the provision here is that we will always, as his guests, we will always have nourishment and sustenance. Physically, spiritually, and if providence has not given much materially, that is no reason why we should lack a fullness in spiritual nourishment. Now, here in America, we are affluent. We have much. And I'm grateful as I stand before you, as we moved into a new house that the Lord enabled us to build, a smaller one-story house. And I look around and see how nice a new house is. And after living in an old farmhouse for 30-some years, I sometimes feel a little guilty. Like, do I really deserve this? And Nancy's getting used to her new appliances, that we even got new appliances. I mean, these old appliances, our electric stove was probably a 60, 70 vintage, and started to rust out around the burners, but it still worked. But now we have a new smooth top, and it's hard to keep a smooth top clean. And you know, and she liked her old one, but she'll get used to that newness, that niceness. So what I'm saying is, we have so many blessings that we take them for granted sometimes as we look around and see all that we have. One of the things that I think young people get when they go to a mission trip, like to Dominican Republic, or like we have a group that from the Ohio area that has been gone to Dominican Republic every summer, they come back and report, all the poverty and the way these people live, and it's like they just, it kind of boggles their minds. But it's good because we know the Lord's blessing. He prepares a table before us. And this, notice that it's also not general, it's specific. It's, you prepare a table before me. It's a personal thing. God takes care of me. And not just in a general way. The Lord takes care of all people in a general way. The sun shines on the evil and the just. The rain comes to both. But here, David is thinking about himself. You prepare a table before me. God is shown to be very personal. He is sovereign from Genesis to Revelation. And as we get these blessings, these provisions from the Lord, he does this right in the presence of my enemies, David says. Enemies can only observe. They cannot participate. They are rendered helpless by the royal host. And as we said this morning, the royal host protects us. And they can only look on and see God's blessing upon us. Sometimes I think about that psalm that says that he was feeling kind of dejected because he saw all of the profit of people around him. The people of the world seemed to be doing so well. And he started thinking, well, maybe I should get more of the worldly things. And then he says, but then when I went into the house of the Lord and I worshiped, I began to get the right perspective. And I think that's a good reason why we're here tonight. We want to get focused and recalibrated, that we could focus on the blessings that we have. And even though the stalls may be empty in our barns, and we may not have no food in the cupboards, in Habakkuk there we read, yet I will still praise the Lord, because he is rendering helpless those who would come and maybe destroy our peace. And John, 1 John, the little letter of John, chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And so let's be appreciative of that, that greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. The world system is wonderfully captivating to people. And Christians can be sucked into that without realizing it. And we have to think of what the Lord has given us and be thankful for that. And then he gives some illustrations here of how the blessings of these provisions happen. One of the customs that we don't have anymore, and it's probably good that we don't have this custom, but it's not about how it may affect us physically, but the custom about you've anointed my head with oil. We said this morning that Samuel poured oil on David's head as an anointing, that he was to be the king. And that can be kind of messy to pour oil on somebody's head, especially if you have a new suit on or a new sport coat. And yet, the blessing of having that, the physical aspect of it, the coat, the suit, it's irrelevant. That can be clean, but is the blessing of the Lord. And so he says, and so that there was that custom of anointing people. When in Luke 7, when Jesus was telling about going into the house of the Pharisee that welcomed him for dinner, and this woman came in, and she anointed her Jesus' feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with her hair, and Simon was just taken up with the fact that this woman was a sinner. And she was a woman of the city that was known to be a sinner, maybe a prostitute. But Jesus worked in her life, and she was returning. And when she found out he was in the house, she came in, like a stray dog maybe. But she came in to go to Jesus and show her appreciation of who he was to her. And then he talked to Simon, Pharisee, and he said, "Look, when I came in, you did not anoint my head. You did not give me that special blessing, but she anoints my feet." And he didn't get them. He didn't really understand what the problem was. He thought he was righteous and she was a bad sinner. But she had it right, he had it wrong. And in Ecclesiastes 9:8, we see, let your head lack no ointment. So that's one of the blessings. The Lord will always be anointing us with the power of the Holy Spirit, actually. And then the result of this then is overwhelming inner peace and joy when you have your head anointed with oil. And that's so he says here in first side, you have anointed my head with oil. And then my cup overflows. Again, we don't have this cultural idea either. It would be the idea of when you would pour a glass of wine or pour a wine cup, you would fill it up and then you would even go above and beyond the top of the cup and it would flow over on the table or wherever it was. And it would be like, again, kind of messy, but yet it would be an expression that your cup is full and running over. You have exceeding blessings from God. And that's what David has in mind here as he's thinking about the royal host with the provisions. My cup runneth over. God provides with an abundance of all that I need. And that is great satisfaction indeed. So these are the provisions that we have. And as the royal host takes care of us. Similar to all the things that I said this morning that the shepherd gives to us as his sheep. And then moving to the second part, the next verse, the promises of the royal host. Surely, and again, this is the idea here, or going on to even more, goodness and loving kindness will, future tense, will follow me all the days of my life. So here we have the future promises that looking to all that has been said, these promises are based upon the past record, and we know that in the scriptures, God is faithful. And so the goodness is here, goodness and loving kindness. These are interesting words in the original. In Psalm 34, flip over a couple pages, we have an expressions that help us appreciate what David is saying here. And we'll see the word good. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who trusts in him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Again, a wonderful futuristic promise. And then verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? And then the next two verses say, well, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Because you see, this goodness that God gives to us should flow out of our lives to other people, that we might reflect the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ to us. So the word goodness is very significant here. And then mercy, the loving kindness it could be rendered. God is merciful, and with him is mercy. When Moses was on the mountain, he asked to see God. And in the chapter 34 of Exodus, as we go there, we see these words. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets, of course, which he shattered. So be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain. So he cut out two stone tablets like of former ones. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took two stone tablets in his, the two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, these are the words, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, there's our word, and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And indeed, that's what David is focusing on here with the loving kindness, the mercy of God. And then these two qualities, the goodness of God and the loving kindness of God, he says here, should follow me, will follow me all the days of my life. They will pursue, is literally the verb, they will pursue me all the days of my life. They are like attendants or waiters when we go into a restaurant. And a good person in the restaurant, and we've all eaten, and we've had bad servers and good servers probably. But and then we think about how they attended to us. Like whatever we wanted, we could ask and they would get it. And they would make sure we had enough coffee and make sure they'd fill up our glass of water or iced tea or whatever it was. So that's what the picture here is, that these waiters, the goodness and the loving kindness as waiters, as servers, will follow me all the days of my life. They will actually pursue me as long as I am the guest of the royal host. And that's a wonderful picture of having the royal host taking care of us all the days of our lives as we serve him, as long as we are guests of the host. And then finally, in this final verse here, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in my Bible, there is a little note. I have the New American Standard Version. And it says that this could literally be rendered length of days. And long, long time ago in my life, when I was in seminary, we exegeted this psalm. And we came to the conclusion that a better rendering of this verse is that I will dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days. It's not like we're taking away, or what do you mean? I thought that was talking about going to heaven. We'll always be with the Lord. No, I mean, it's not talking, maybe, I don't think David was talking about heaven. I'll put it that way. That's not taking away from that aspect. But I think what he's thinking about here, and I think this is interesting for us as we get older, he's expecting that he'll live a long time. In other words, he's not ready to die. And, you know, sometimes you get around people that act like, oh, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Okay, that is a bonus. That's the greatest thing. But the Bible is not about heaven. It's about earth, right? I mean, the Bible is for us living here on earth. And so the Bible is the instruction book of how, it's like, you know, the manual for a machine or your car. It tells you how to work it. And so the Bible tells us how we should live here in this life. The Lord will take care of heaven. And so to talk about heaven as if you don't want to stay here any longer. Well, somebody might say, well, I have all this pain. I'd like to get out of here. Okay. So Paul had a lot of pain. Our Savior had more pain than we'll ever have. And so we finish the course with patience. And so he's looking for a long life. And so it's not good to think about just that this meaning is heaven and the hereafter, but David is looking for a long life now. The imagery is showing he's taking up residence here with the Lord. And if we turn over to Psalm 27:4, which is just on another page of your Bible, it says, one thing have I asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. See, he's dwelling in the, and that's an expression, dwelling in the house of the Lord, to translate into a New Testament concept is to know the presence of the Lord in our lives daily. Because now we don't go to the temple and do sacrifices. Our sacrifices are sacrifices of praise that we've done today in our church services. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. And so we want to concentrate on being in the presence of God all the days of our lives. And we like that to go on for a long time. Because we want to serve the Lord. We want to be here. And even through pain and discomfort. And as I get older, I realize that sometimes we do get a bad attitude about living with the pain and the difficulties. But I get blessed when I remember as a young man, Mr. Newkirk was my first pastor experience after seminary. I would go to him, and he was in pain and had great discomfort as an old man. And I was nervous as a new pastor, and you know, and I would find a scripture reading that I would think he would appreciate, and so I'd be reading, and he'd say, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!" And I'm thinking, he was ministering to me more than I was to him. Maybe I was just being a conduit of reading the scripture and showing him the blessing of God in his life, and he kept saying, "Praise the Lord." Then you get into some people that you're trying to minister to, and they act grumpy and grouchy, and you think, you know, you don't get a good feeling. So we need to see that the Lord, we're taking residence with Him, and if Paul could be in prison writing the letter of Philippians and speak of joy about 19 times, I think, he was in prison and he's writing a letter telling the Philippian Christians to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So this is what Paul said, and I think David has here, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days, that I might live out my life joyfully. Actually, let me read the translation of the New American Standard on the verse 6. It reads like this: "Surely only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of days the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place." Meaning, thinking about where the presence of the Lord is. It was in the Old Testament, it was in the house. In the New Testament, the presence of the Lord is in our bodies. Our bodies are His temple. And so we should manifest that in our living. Now, do you need this sermon of that thought? I do tonight, because I have had some issues recently with kind of being depressed. And it's kind of hard to identify sometimes. Where's this coming from? And so I need this sermon maybe more than you do. So I'm thankful that I can preach, because I'm closer to my voice than you. That we should look to the Lord and not get down. And it's not meaning that we should just be happy, like, you know, with Alfred Newman with big smile and just acting like everything. No, I'm just saying in our that deeper inner being of the peace that passes all understanding. Remember how Jesus said to His disciples before He left them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that same phrase starts that chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, for I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again." So we do have a greater place. I'm not putting down heaven, but I think this psalm is about earth, living here. that He's our great shepherd, that He is our royal host, and we have nothing to fear. Now, that's easier said than done. I know that. I keep telling myself, what's wrong with you? And I don't know what it is, but I have to look to the Lord. So maybe this sermon will help me tonight as I drive home and think, do you really believe, Leo, what you're preaching? Or are you just filling the pulpit there to fill up what is a vacuum because no one is here today? The pastor's on vacation. So these are the kind of things that we can see from this royal host, that dwelling with the Lord has to do with also one final thing here, and that is fellowship, the fellowship with God. And I look at John again as he wrote his little letter in 1 John. We see these words. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What we have seen and heard, this is John seeing and hearing all that he did with Jesus, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And so with the royal host that we have, and the good shepherd that we have, there's nothing that's lacking in our lives through Christ. And may we be able to effectively live that out and enjoy that peace and the great confidence that we have a great shepherd and a royal host, and that we are in His hands. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we can trust You. We learned that there are many things in the world we can't trust. And we sometimes wonder what we should do. But we pray that You would help us to look to You and know that You are not only our great shepherd through the Lord Jesus, who gave His life for us, that we are redeemed by His blood, and we proclaim it and live it, that we are now taken care of with all the needs that we have, plus help us to know the joy of our salvation and to not be fearful or unbelieving or doubtful or down. Lord, keep the devil away from us, who likes to destroy us and undermine us if he could. But as we saw this morning, no man can pluck us out of Your hand. And so keep us, Lord, in Your hands, and shower us with the shadow and with the covering of Your wing, that we might know You as our blessed hope, as shepherd, and as royal host to us every single day and hour of our lives. To that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.